Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to settle down for final exams. Everybody come in. Please take a seat. You have a Scantron in front of you. And of course, fill in the bubbles that say Deadly Cast, a Deadly Class podcast, followed by your name, which of course is Alex. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my name.
Oi! You want to fight? We're going to fight this whole episode. Oi!
Wait, do you have a name?
I'm Justin.
No, you're not Justin. You're Pete. Stop doing that bit.
Oh, hey, I'm Pete. I just showed up.
Oh, my God. Okay, so in case it isn't clear, Justin is not here for this final episode.
Justin was just here for like 2 seconds.
No, he was not Justin. That's confusing to people who don't know who we are and are tuning into this podcast for the very first time.
You think someone tuned into this podcast for the first time and is watching... they didn't go back and listen to the first episode.
No, a lot
They're
of people.
Starting with the last episode.
I've studied podcast user behavior quite heavily, and I know a lot of people decide to come in with the last episode of a TV show.
You're ridiculous.
Pretty normal thing to happen. We are going to be talking about the season.
See you later, Justin. Thanks for showing up.
Oh, my God. Stop with that bit. We are going to start talking about the season one finale of Deadly Class, Sync with California, which is different than Hotel California, I guess. That's
and
interesting.
Is California slowly sinking? I've heard some
It's because of all of the Californication.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man.
So this is the final episode to get you guys caught up to what's going on. Lots of stuff. There's a guy named Marcus. He was at an orphanage, was bunked up with a guy eventually named Fuckface. I don't know if he was named Fuckface back
Chester,
then.
Chester. It was
Chester.
His...
There you go.
Yeah.
Chester likes to have sex with animals. Is pretty mean. And
he's a goat fucker.
Yeah, he's a goat fucker.
And a dog fucker.
Right. Yeah, and a chicken fucker and other things. You didn't have to go through the whole zoo, I guess. Anyway, Marcus blew him up and wrecked his face, and also ended up getting credit for 16 people in the orphanage that Chester slash Fuckface actually killed. Fuckface, pretty pissed about that. He wants to be famous more than anything. He wants to get on the Donahue show more than anything.
Yeah.
So he has targeted Marcus and told Marcus that he is going to not only kill him, but expose him and destroy the school he's in, which is King's Dominion. We'll get to that in a second, if he doesn't meet his demands. Specifically, he has the head of Chico, which is the former boyfriend of Maria. Maria is now technically Marcus's current girlfriend. Chico got his head chopped off by Fuckface, and it's been sitting in a...
Well, Maria cut his head off.
She slit his neck, and then Fuckface cut his head off.
Okay.
To be technical about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, let's do that.
Yeah, let's call a spade a spade.
Well, that's racist.
No, it's not. It's an expression.
Okay.
Jeez, man. Anyway, Fuckface's hold up in Shabnam's house has a bunch of hostages there. Shabnam's another student at King's Dominion. And we should mention King's Dominion is a school for teen assassins. Marcus goes there. Maria goes there. Maria, after killing Chico, this is all very complicated, you guys. His father... Diablo, I believe, is the name.
Nice job.
Targeted King's Dominion, and specifically Master Lin, the head of King's Dominion, because... Oh, my God, this is really way too much stuff to explain. Because Chico was dead, and last episode, Diablo killed Master Lin's wife, and Master Lin is now on the run with his secret daughter, also being chased by Madame Gao, his sister, who is one of the higher-ups in the organization that runs King's Dominion. Other people at King's Dominion you probably need to know about. There is Marcus's friend, Billy, who is in love with Petra. There's also Marcus's English friend, Lex, who is English. There's Marcus's friend, Willie, who doesn't show up this episode.
Wait, he's also in love with Petra.
Who?
Lex.
Oh, Lex is also a relevant creature, right. There's also Saya, who is a katana-wielding badass, who Marcus ended up sleeping with last episode. Very attracted to her, but Maria doesn't know, and that's pretty bad. Or does she know?
Oh.
And I think that's pretty much it, right? Well, I'll tell you what.
Yep. No,
jumping into the episode itself, relatively speaking, plot-wise, this is a straightforward one because they spend a lot of time, the kids end up infiltrating Fuckface's house, rather Shabnam's house, and trying to take his gang down. Bunch of stuff goes on there that I'm sure we'll get to in a second. Yes,
I just want to interrupt for a second.
Yes, please.
We talk about the assassin school, and to me, you have kids, right?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of like a Montessori thing where you've got to apply and then provide some kind of resume of what they've done and why they have been in there. Now, let me ask you, as a father, would you send your kids to an assassin school? Would you rather them go to a private school or a public school? Where are you on the school?
The way the assassin school seems to work is there's a bunch of gangs, right? You come from a gang, you study with the gang, and then you go back to the gang. What would my gang be?
I don't know. I'm just wondering if you consider that for your... Jeez.
I'm Jewish. Don't go geez.
I just wonder if you consider that for your child's future. Like when
you're
talking about schools, you know, with your wife, you know, were you like, hey, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of, I mean, we're in New York City. I'm sure there's an assassin school here.
100% definitely.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But no, of course I would not do that.
Oh, okay.
Would you, Pete, do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Okay. But if you did have kids, would you send them to an assassin school?
Oh, my God, yes. That would be the greatest.
They would come back and fucking kill you, man.
No way, dude.
So in the episode itself, they infiltrate Fuckface's house. Bunch of people get captured. A bunch of other people die. Eventually, it comes down to a confrontation between Fuckface and Marcus. And then meanwhile, Master Lin is dealing with a bunch of other stuff, specifically Diablo and Madame Gao. Some other things go down there. Let's get into it. What do you want to hit on?
Well, first I want to talk about, I'm so happy it started right where it left off, right?
Master Lin. You love that. You hate time dashes.
Oh, it's the worst, especially when they leave you hanging at like, oh God, what will happen? So I'm glad it started right off with Master Lin holding his child, running through the streets. Fantastic.
Oh, by the way, one really quick thing to mention. If you're hearing any sort of echo on this podcast, that's not your fault. We were actually captured by assassins and thrown into a deep hole, and now we're trying to fight our way out.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know.
We'll
We'll
get out.
We're going to get out.
Even if I have to climb on top of your dead corpse.
Jesus Christ. Out. Why was that your first thought?
That's a good point.
All right. Keep going.
So I'm just happy that it started right with that. And, you know, we kind of have Master Lin running through the streets. And there's this bandana guy who I assume is like a higher up in the gang that Chico is a part of. And Diablo runs.
Yep. That seems fair.
Yeah.
Given that he's shooting at Master Lin.
Well, he also seems like he's one of the head henchmen. I mean, he's got a pretty cool bandana.
Yeah, it is a pretty sweet
bandana.
You
don't give nobody henchman a bandana like that.
Of course not. Absolutely not. This episode was basically one big chase and fight scene for the most part. But it does find a nice amount of time for some character work. Specifically, things that jump out to me. I really like that Petra and Billy end up bonding in this episode.
That was kind of beautiful.
That was very sweet. They get interrupted before they kiss, but they do clearly really like each other, which is something that's been building all season.
Also, we got to see Petra. Like, Petra's been, she puts on a lot of faces, puts on a lot of airs, and it was about like she was really scared, and that's when Billy was kind of like, oh my God, you're a real person.
Yeah, which is great. The other thing that I really liked is the Maria and Saya, I almost said Mariah, thing really went down this episode.
Oh, man.
In a bad way. And this, again, is straight out of the comic, the way that they play the scene. This episode was written by Rick Remender, so that makes a lot of sense. But Saya is down for the count. She is about to be killed by one of Fuckface's hillbilly henchmen. And Maria stands over and is like, you fucked him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't say that. She says, you slept with him, right?
No, she says, you fucked him.
Oh, she does say you fucked him?
Yeah. Okay.
And, yeah, it's pretty messed up. She basically is ready to let Saya die because of what she did.
And then later, Saya saves Maria's ass.
Yeah.
From one of the bad guys, which, you know, says a lot about Saya.
One thing that I think is really interesting about the show in comparison to the comic is Saya is a lot softer on the show, which I think works for making her sympathetic. In the comic, she is very blank. She is very cold. You don't know exactly what's going on with her. Here, I care a lot more about her as a character, and I think that comes down to Lana Condor's performance of the character. But I don't know. I don't think this is the end of the whole Maria Saya thing.
Well, also, like, just the part where they're about to fight, and Saya just tilts her head to the side and goes, everybody's right, you're crazy. I was like, oh, Saya, no, don't do that. Oh, my God, you just set her off.
Do you think Saya has a death wish?
I don't know. I'm really mad at Saya at the end of this episode.
Really?
So mad.
You love Saya.
She's been my favorite this whole time.
Mm.
And she bounces. She straight up bounces in the middle of the fight. And she doesn't bounce to go help Master Lin Lech. I hoped she would. And I was like, you better be going to, because that was your first obligation. And you blew that to do this stupid mission. And then she just straight bounces. Doesn't go to help Master Lin, who really needs her.
Well, let's talk about Master Lin for a second. He gets the shit beat out of him this episode.
He gets shot trying to save a rando on the street.
And ultimately what happens is Madame Gao ends up taking his daughter in order to train her in the ways of whatever this shady organization is. I really thought they were going to kill him at certain points. I'm glad that he didn't, but it was very sad when he ultimately ends up losing everything. Depending on where this goes, if this show gets a season two, of course, I expect we're going to see him very cold, very broken throughout the next season.
Dude, the way this ends is super heartbreaking.
Well, do you want to jump ahead and talk about that? Actually, before we do, let's talk about the fuckface Marcus stuff.
Okay.
So, first of all, very glad that Byron Posehn has been seated throughout the season. He's a lot of fun. He's one of the people that has been captured.
Every time they find really fun things for him to do in the episode.
He is hosting a show for fuckface in order to make him a celebrity. Fuckface thinks it's going live out to everybody. Of course, it's definitely not.
No, but it's a VHS tape.
Yes.
And we don't even know if there's a tape in there, because last time he did this, he forgot to put the tape
exactly.
in.
But it is the fuckface show, and he interviews Marcus, and the goal is to get Marcus to admit that he didn't kill all those people and is a terrible person and really sad. And I love how the sequence played out. I love because it starts with Fuckface having the mental advantage, and then Marcus using everything that he's learned from King's Dominion in order to trick Fuckface, to play on his sympathies and to make him think, you know what, we could be friends again. Let's do this together. You will grab a new home. You could be happy.
Yeah, you can come to my school. We can be friends again. We can do this together.
Right, but ultimately he's tricking him.
Yeah, and then hits him in the face with a brick.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then, you know, like, gets Marcus unleashes a dog on him and starts gnawing at his face. It was super gross.
I think that's just going to fuck up his fuck face more.
Yeah.
It's not actually going to kill him. It's just going to be make him look worse more than anything and even angrier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we really got to talk about all the fight sequences in this episode. There are a lot of amazing matchups. Like, there was that giant dude in just overalls who was kind of almost unstoppable for a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fantastic.
That was pretty good. The one that I liked was the two Billy hillbillies attacking them with the chainsaw.
And then
chainsawing each other.
And then that guy chainsawed himself.
In the face.
Yeah.
It was played like a classic comedy scene where everybody just, it was very Evil Dead. Everybody watching it, screaming, yelling. It was fun. It was bloody and it was gross and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, when we got hillbilly fight time, like, it had some like banjo music and was like kind of, the music throughout was really awesome. At one point, we switched to like Ozzy Osbourne, like kind of insane fight music, and that was really badass as well.
Yeah, so that was all fun. I wish it wasn't quite so dark, honestly. Like, it's all filmed in the house at night, and for the most part, I understand that's to mask certain things in the fight scene, but I would have appreciated seeing it a little more clearly because it was so much fun and it was so enjoyable throughout. Let's
also, there was a fun like moment where Billy was like, "You chose me," and Petra was like, "Oh God, you know, like what have I done? I've encouraged this." You know, that was a sweet moment. Also, when they were making fun of Marcus for his like demotivating speech.
Yeah.
And also, Marcus tried to talk to Saya before everything went down. She was like, "This is not the time."
Yeah, and it really wasn't.
It was.
She's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the end of the episode. So there were a lot of things that we speculated last episode about this episode.
And you were wrong.
I was wrong about everything, and it was a little bit of a bummer because I love being right.
Yeah.
No,
I know. I know.
It was
that
a little bit
you.
Of a bummer because I wanted to see everything come together a little bit more. We didn't see Willie at all.
No. And I tried to tell you that. If Willie's not going to stick up for that random family at the gas station, he's not going to come back for his friends.
I guess.
That was the whole point of that.
What was the point of the character then? He's just gone?
Yeah.
That's I don't know.
I like how you're like, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He's supposed to come back at the very end, try to save them, and then die.
Yeah. Well, what about Saya, huh? She was supposed to come back and try to save the day. She fucking bounced.
Here's, I guess, the moral of the show is, why won't everybody just come back?
Yeah. And I think this has been an amazing season, but man, it was a shitty end.
Yeah.
Like, to see Master Lin bleeding out on the ground, not one of his students there. Saya, I'm fucking looking at you. Not one.
Well, there was also...
The kid, Madame Gao, wins, takes her child. Like, God damn.
The other thing that happened at the end, of course, is that Diablo shoots Lex and kills him. Right?
Yeah. We don't know if he's dead. He's got a gunshot wound.
He's definitely dead.
What? How is he definitely dead?
I mean, otherwise,
it's a comic book TV show, you asshole.
What's the cliffhanger? You know?
Oh, there isn't enough cliffhangers for you? What about the showdown with Diablo, Maria?
Well, frankly.
And old Marcus comes out of the house holding. Get a fucking bag, you asshole. Get a goddamn bag. You don't walk around with a head outside in the world.
Yeah, this is actually my problem with this season finale, frankly. I think it was fun. I enjoyed it. They should have wrapped things up better.
I was like, there's got to be more.
Right, but there's not.
I was looking at my television, so I was like, no, there's got to be more.
This doesn't have to be the only way things go, but there's a basic television structure thing, right? Like, if you want to try to angle for a second season, you put it all on the floor for the first season, but then you do such a big cliffhanger that people have to tune back for season two. And even the network execs are like, oh, man, I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, but they tried to do that with goddamn what you call it, and then it got like, but luckily Netflix saved it.
Wait, what show?
Lucifer.
Yeah, but that was like several seasons in.
Okay.
The thing about this, though, is it wasn't finished. Like, this was just sort of the 10th episode of the ongoing story. And I think they should have been aiming for the season more. Like, they should have figured out what is the season-long arc. You can have those cliffhangers and everything, but it felt like there needed to be an 11th episode right now, you know?
Yeah, I really felt like that. And also, like, it was just so depressing that was when the ending. I was just stood there staring at a blank screen going like, no.
Yeah.
You can't end it there.
Right.
Because even the Maria finally talking with Marcus, that was a horrible conversation. That was fucking stupid.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go that far.
Because I think it was like, hey, Maria, I loved you. He didn't even look at her when he said that.
My bigger problem is like, this is nothing against the actor who plays Lex.
Right.
Killing Lex is not a big enough event to end of the season. Like, if it was any of the other characters, if it was Maria getting shot, if it was Saya getting shot, if it was Marcus getting shot, that would be an oh shit moment.
Right.
Lex is a disposable character.
Yeah, all that hurts.
Well, I'm sorry, he is. I mean, of anybody on the show, Lex and Willie are probably the two that, like, well, you could let them go and not too much would change. So it doesn't affect enough. It doesn't feel big enough. And I'm sure it felt big to them in the room because they care about Lex a lot more. But As a viewer, we don't.
But they had that nice group hub moment where, like, they saved Lex's life, and he was like, oh, man, thank you so much. You guys saved me.
He's not a bad character. I would be happy to have him around. But killing him, it was like, wait, what? Why is he going? All right. That's not a note to end the season on. That's all. That all said, I enjoyed this first season. I think it was good. There's certainly plenty of story to pull from the comics going forward. The ratings upticked a little bit, so chances are maybe it will come back for season two, in which case we'll be there to recap it, as long as, I guess, we make it out of this hole we were thrown in by those assassins.
Yeah, but I really do want another season, because it drives me nuts how it ended. And Sia better fucking,
Sia is a musical artist.
Yeah, she is.
That would be interesting if they brought her in for season two. Before we wrap up, superlatives, Pete. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So most likely to make me not care about their death is Lex. That's kind of a surprise that he got that. Pete, what about you?
Most likely to break my heart is Sia.
Ooh. Not Sia?
Not Sia.
That chandelier also, song is like, it gets me right here.
Also, Willie, you a bitch. You running like a bitch.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Can't even help a fucking family at a gas station, you bitch.
Jesus, what a note to end this season of our podcast on. Thank you guys so much for listening.
It was an amazing season. There was a lot of great stuff. Well worth checking out this TV show. It's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Just
particularly the first couple of episodes, I think.
And the Vegas episode. Oh.
Vegas episode, fantastic. The Breakfast Club episode was fantastic. Those were definitely my two favorites out of this season. I hope they do more like that in a season two rather than aiming for just the ongoing story. Really dig into the characters, and it'll be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much. You can support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll teach your kids to be assassins, I guess. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live, also at Cast Deadly for Deadly Geek Class stuff, and comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you next semester.
Oi! Hey.